Hey, what's up? What's up, y'all? I'm being interrupted by Martin as I try to start the podcast. This is Ian Edwards. You can get at me at Ian Edwards Comic on Instagram. This podcast can be found at World Football Daily, SoundCloud, allthingscomedy.com, and iTunes. And this is a soccer comic rant. Thanks for listening. I'm here with my interrupting co-host, Martin Polish Harris. And I think...
Hey, man!
I think Spurs took a page out of your interrupting book this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. You know, I'll be easy on you because of the circumstances that occurred last weekend. So I'll be easy on you. I won't take it personally. Yes.
What circumstances?
Well, you know, some teams won, some teams blew leads at home. You know, it's been a definitely turbulent week. You know, and
No, we've had way worse weeks. What are you kidding me? We won two games this week and tied one. There was a week 2 weeks ago we lost three games. You think I'm going to be upset? As upset? As
no, you shouldn't. Time? No, yeah, no, shouldn't. It's been worse. Point. It's a good point.
Yeah, and then talking about Spurs. Spurs always starts the league strong. So you're just doing what you normally do. Let's see how.
That's actually not true.
I mean, this is your best start. But no, Spurs is always. Have been in the top five before at the beginning of seasons a lot? Are you kidding me?
No. Yes, they have. In the middle of the season, not the beginning of the season. Beginning of the season, we usually start slow. Last season, even, we started slow. This is a proper start. I mean, we also started slow in terms of the way we played. We didn't play very well in the first couple of games, you know, but we got the points.
This is your best game.
Yeah, that was the best game I've seen in 2 years from the Spurs. 100%, yes.
So, we're accidentally talking about Spurs first, so let's continue. Before we continue, did you guys, thank Brandon Rodgers for the game plan for this game? Or are you guys just going to act as if Celtic didn't create a blueprint midweek when they tied 3-3 with City and showed people how to deal with City by pressing them honestly and completely... And getting in their ass. And then Pochettino watching that team, Celtic, and saying, my team is better. If I do the same game plan, we could beat this team because we're more potent than this team. So let's do that. And it's the same Celtic blueprint that you dudes put on them. Like, were you guys pressing any team like this year? I've watched most Spurs games this year, and I've never seen you press like that. It was like out of a Liverpool, Brendan Rodgers, Celtic playbook.
Clap. Okay, so first of all,
yes,
you're trying to diminish. Let me just give my input. First of all, we always press. You know that's like that.
No,
we
man.
Do, yeah, we do press like that. We do press like that. That's what Pochettino does. That's his style. We did press like that last season. And
what about the beginning?
More now with Wanyama, we do it even more with Wanyama, who is becoming a really key component of that squad now in this year, because Wanyama is even better with that.
Did you do that at the beginning? Like when you guys played Liverpool, did you press like that?
Yeah, but they also pressed, so it was
they pressed better.
Pressing, they were better in this game. Yeah, when they played us, they were better in this particular game. They were better. It was a good point for us because they were better team. When they played us.
I don't remember you guys pressing like that. It was a clear difference in style of play this game. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Who knows?
I mean, I think the only difference was that we were pressing the goalkeeper more.
Because
Bravo is that type of goalkeeper. But it's not of the Rodgers book. It's just the way he plays. I mean, everyone does that to Bravo. You know, we just did it a little bit more... with more enthusiasm, with more aggressiveness, you know, and it's not from Rodgers' blueprint. I would say it's more from Mourinho's blueprint because you guys were pressing Bravo when you played in the derby and successfully, successfully actually than we did because Bravo actually didn't make that many mistakes.
Now you guys, you guys press more successfully. You press totally. And
I mean, Bravo, not more successful because he made a lot of mistakes against you guys, but he didn't do that many mistakes. And he actually saved the penalty. He had a very good game.
I know, but it was his first game against us, so he was a little nervous. It was a combination of first game derby press. You know what I mean? And then I think Pep gave away the surprise, or he's disclosed what Bravo brings to the game when he got rid of Joe Hart, and everybody's like, "Oh, you want to press? Okay, if you want to use a goalkeeper who's basically an extra midfielder slash defender to come forward with the ball, we'll just press him." And everybody's like, they're pressing him, and they're gonna have to do something. They're gonna have to play regular goalkeeper now, because like you guys were all over him. And there's a player missing from your squad. He's injured. I can't remember his name. I think his name
Dembele?
Is no, not Dembele, because Dembele has only played probably 1.5 games. I think he was supposed to play for England or something, but I don't think you're missing him. Nah, what's his name? Shit. I think it's Kane or something. You said.
Oh, you mean Harry Kane?
Yeah. What did he used to do for your team? What besides get ties? What and not score? What did he used to do?
Okay. Listen, you know, we'll welcome him back. You know, hopefully in a month. But the thing about Spurs is, and a couple of points right now in about like 2 minutes.
Why not? What are you waiting for? Do it now.
2 minutes long. Yeah. Okay. So first of all. Definitely you can see more depth in the team right now. And I'm very happy with what Pochettino is doing, because he's giving this team an identity. And last year, we were losing some points. Like the games we should have won, we drew them. The games we should have drawn, we lost them. This year is the opposite. You know, in the first couple of weeks, we should have lost against Everton and Liverpool. We managed to draw the games. And now we are able to control the games, you know, and actually we control most of the games, except of the Liverpool game, we control them, especially in key moments. So I'm very, very happy that Pochettino's identity of this team, he's building that step by step, and they're better and better and better, and there's more depth. All those players are adding something, and they're all playing Pochettino style. I think Sissoko had a very, very good game, and he's also a good addition to the squad. I think Wanyama was sensational.
Wanyama was way better than him.
But Sissoko was running a lot, so he did a lot of good things.
He always runs a lot.
Yeah, but it's good for this team. We need that type of activity. I think Lamela wasn't very good actually, but Sissoko actually was. So and Son definitely is the player of the month in the league for sure.
And whenever you play Son, I love Son from the moment, like you know, he just stood out for me from the moment I started noticing playing for Spurs. And Pochettino doesn't always play him, and I guess Harry Kane kind of came along, but I'm not saying Harry Kane ain't good. I'm just saying Song is just so lively out there, had so much energy, and he helps. He had an assist, and he's just involved in everything. And he was like, this is why I think this team looks different pressing wise than other weeks, because Song completely presses. Harry Kane does not chase the goalkeeper from end to end of the field. Song chases the goalkeeper everywhere he goes, and he harassed him, and he didn't create mistakes, you know, but they made Man City give up the ball and not let them use their midfield to build attacks against you guys. And that's because Song just kept on attacking Bravo, and I don't think Harry Kane gives you that.
Yeah, and there's one thing. I read a very, very long article. It's on a 442 website. I highly recommend it. It was the cover story a couple of months ago. It's the blueprint of Guardiola, like his whole philosophy of football, how he plays, why he plays, what sectors of the field he uses, you know, and why he always likes. He likes to build his offense from defense where they exchange like 5 to 10 passes and then the ball moves forward. I think what happened when...
Hey, you're breaking up. Are you doing something? Slow down.
No.
You're breaking up. Don't move around.
I don't move around at all. I'm sitting in the same spot.
All right.
So the blueprint from his book, you know, what he's doing, and the fact that he broke Bravo, it didn't expose Bravo as much as it exposed the fullback he has on both sides.
Exactly.
And the whole defensive formation. I think Stones actually looked very good. Stones is a good player.
Stones looks amazing. But
the other players are not as good technically, especially Kolarov. They're not as good technically as they should be to play Guardiola's style.
Exactly. And that's the problem. Like, this is the same defense that at the beginning of last season, when everybody was rating Man City, it's technically the same players. with the addition of Stones, who is really good. He's doing that Beckenbauer thing where he's bringing the ball out the back, Kaiser style, and he knows how to use the space in front of him. Because people think, oh, he's not going to keep dribbling the ball forward. And he's like, oh, I am. You keep giving me the space, I'll take it. And then I'll make a great pass afterwards. So he's like, he's doing what they hope David Luiz does at Chelsea, but he's also defending better. Then the problem is, I'm not even going to say Kolarov is a problem, but he's out of position. He's playing in the middle, right? He's usually a back. Then
he can play on the side too.
I know, but he's older now. He looks like his hair is gray. He ain't a few years ago. So you have an older Kolarov. Otamendi has stepped up to the plate and played better, but he's still Otamendi. So when he has his Otamendi days, they're going to suffer. And then
it's not super fast. They're running past him. He could have got second yellow card at some point. He could have got second yellow card. You know, if there was a different referee, he could have got the second yellow card.
Yeah, they gave him diarrhea, man. They ran through him.
Yeah. And it's not even the problems, you know, like that there were maybe, you know, there's some of the mistakes that weren't exposed as much before because there's more asked from them to do because the way Guardiola's team like to play, they like the defenders to pass a lot, they like them to run a lot. They're like way more involved in the offensive game and it's just not their skill set.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, this is the least gifted team Guardiola has ever coached in a major league, you know, in a country's major league. You feel me? Like, he had Barca, he had the best players in the world. He went to Germany, he had the best players in the world. Like, nobody has a questionable back three. He never had to coach a questionable back three. And then he doesn't have all the pieces in the front that he would want. And, you know, and even though his front players are doing good, you know, then he has questions. I think his defenses, his problems are most defensively. Like, if back in the day, if you press Barcelona, right, it wouldn't work because his players were so technically gifted, they would work their way out of it. And after five or six times of you trying to press them and them working their way out of it, you would just give up and just set back and play defensively until they scored on you. But now you can reap benefits from pressing these guys. And the first thing Pep needs to do in that transfer window is get technical defenders.
Yeah, 100%. And on the opposite end, I think that's what the Spurs' strength is. They have the best defense in the league right now. I think the both center backs, Vertonghen and Alderweireld, play together for national team, play together in the club right now for two seasons in a row. It shows they have great communication. Like, they really handled Aguero very, very well. And Aguero is probably the best striker in the league. They handled him well, and they handled other guys. They handled Sterling well. Rose obviously helped a lot with that.
So did Wanyama, but
the system is pretty clear. Yeah, like both center backs are very compact, very good in positioning and marking. And Wanyama is sometimes the third center defender because he cleans a lot in front of them. And then you have two super fast fullbacks because Walker is fast and Rose is fast.
And I want to throw Rose in your face because I always told you he was good.
No, he's very good. The problem with him is that sometimes he comes late defensively, but now when Wanyama can cover the ground,
yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen him coming late.
Not in this game. Motherfuckers on time.
I mean, you got the best defense in the league, you're saying, so Rose has got to be on time if he's a part of that defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not making mistakes.
Yeah, only three goals conceded so far, by far the best defense.
Yeah. Are you done? Gloating, good win. Y'all did it.
It was an
impossible win. It looked like an impossible win when you just look at the schedule, or look at it on paper last week. But you guys didn't lucky win. You handled them.
Yeah.
Did you expect that?
Yeah, I listen. You know, you can listen to our podcast last week. I said it that we're gonna win this game. For whatever reason,
but you wasn't sure though.
Yeah, for whatever reason, this is one team we like to play. No, I said we'll win the game. I said I'll be okay with a draw, but I said we'll win. Especially that it's the third game in a row we won in the Premier League against Man City. It's for whatever reasons, the teams from Manchester are good for us. We usually play well against them recently. The teams we didn't beat Arsenal last year. We didn't beat Chelsea last year. You know, so those are two teams that give us trouble. But hopefully we can beat them this year. I'm confident with this team. You know, it's still like there's still people are not still 100% sold on Tottenham. However, more and more see them as a contender, as a serious contender, as a very compact team, as a very well-built team, as a very mature team, and yet having a lot of young players on it. So I like us being a little bit under the radar, and I like the fact that we are very consistent. You know, so listen, you know, the sky's the limit. Hopefully, we can be in contention. I see Pochettino and the way how methodical he is in building this squad, in building the whole club, changing the culture. I see him as a guy, kind of, because I watched this documentary about 20 years anniversary of Arsene Wenger. I see him kind of a Spurs version of Arsene Wenger, completely different style, but someone who came, implemented, you know, a different attitude, implemented completely different philosophy. And I wouldn't be surprised if for the next 20 years we'll win the league like twice or three times. Obviously, we're not going to win it every year. Obviously, Arsenal probably will win once.
What? Man U will Arsenal?
Win a couple of times. City will win. Yeah, you know, those big teams, they have to win sometimes, you know. So, but I can see us winning like two titles in the next 15, 20 years. Why not?
I can see your cheap owners selling your title-contending players.
No, it's
in the
all
next
changed.
Few years.
They're all signed. They're signing new contracts, everybody. Every single player is signing new contracts.
They still sell them. Like, people sign contracts, new contracts all the time, and they sell them. Come on, man.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't happen in the last 2 years. But
it didn't happen, but we'll see. We'll see. You better win this year. Sold home.
Let's hope.
Let's see where to go next.
We can go to your direction, to your background.
All right, to Man U.
Yeah.
All right. So, as far as I'm concerned, the best we've looked, even though we beat Leicester last week, the best we've looked, like just attacking, building up play. We weren't afraid of intimacy in tight spaces, and we'd run in and we'd dink the ball off each other, and we created multiple chances, clear shots on goal, but just bad finishing. Ibrahimovic went for the wrong side of the goal when Pogba got him the ball like 5 minutes into the game. But I liked how Ibrahimovic played. He was all over the field and he was effective and he would take people on and he used his skill. We could see, like, you know, he just looked special out there, but, you know, we just couldn't finish, you know. And then the bad thing about it is, like, we were tied, and I wanted us to keep the same players on the field, but then Mourinho made the changes, and the changes was Martial and Rooney for Mata and Lingard, and I didn't like that. And even though Martial scored, I think we could have won this game 1-0. And I'm not even playing hindsight 2020. I think we could have won this game at least 1-0 with the starting lineup on the field. But I do like how we responded after Joe Allen scored and tied it 1-1. Like the build up again after that, it wasn't like last year where we had some really clear cut chances at the end of the game. Pogba hitting the post and a cross from Pogba that Rooney missed in front of the goal, and I think Ibrahimovic had a chance, and it was calm, cool, patient. We were all over the pace, and yeah. You know, you don't put goals away, you will pay in the Premiership and in most leagues, and we paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of points. First of all, it's definitely a very bad result. Second of all, first half was very good for Man U. However, I've heard, you know, like they're kind of anonymous voices from apparently from the locker room that not everybody's happy with Zlatan. He turned 35 today. Today he turned 35, and that's all for soccer, for the high level, for the highest level. And some people complain that he's not running enough, that he is not very effective outside of actually scoring goals, you know, and that in Premier League you have to do a little bit more. You have to press, you have to run more, you have to be more involved in defensive side of the game, and that he's not doing that. Second thing, I saw him running today.
Uh-huh. Like the other games, I agree with you, but yesterday he was running. This weekend he was running.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the second thing, you know, that's kind of funny with Rooney, because I watched even the Europa League game, and the only goal was after he miskicked a shot, and went to Ibrahimovic, and he scored.
Yeah.
And the Martial goal was him misplacing, he just didn't control the ball properly, it landed at Martial's feet, so both goals were basically happened because Rooney did something wrong.
As opposed to when it used to be Rooney doing something right.
Exactly.
It's hilarious.
So that's weird. So
that's the first time we have to thank Wayne Rooney's diminishing skills for accidental assists. Good looking out, diminishing skills of Wayne Rooney. There was something else I wanted to say. Yeah, Marshall, you know, I don't know. I just hope he can get back on track. Like last year, he scored 17 goals in a lot of games. So you think that's going to improve and get better. But when he has the ball out there, he just puts his head down and he doesn't really look to pass. And then our problem still is we need better crossing, but we got some better crossing from Rashford, because instead of letting Valencia cross the ball on the right, he would pass it to Rashford and Rashford would get some balls in. So we had better crosses in the second half instead of like Valencia diving down to the goal line and then crossing from there. But we have to get these goals, and our international week is coming up. Did you know if Rashford made the team?
Yeah, of course. I'll talk about it in a second.
And Lingard is on it too.
Let me just
talk
about Martial.
Well, just answer the question. You can still answer the question and still talk about it.
Yeah, he is.
I asked you a question.
I listened to Gareth Southgate conference actually today, and he was praising Rashford, and he was telling Rashford is an important part of the team, and it's important because Rashford scored a hat-trick for him when he was a coach of under-21, I guess, team,
right,
a month ago. And he's also the guy who worked with Lindgren a lot on the international level. So both of them are called, actually.
Yeah.
And both of them can have a chance with this England team.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying last week. Like, as Man U went last week, it changed the face of the England team. Like, last week, Mourinho started Rashford and started Lingard. They won. And I knew from then on there's going to be some changes on the English team, because Allardyce is gone. Gareth Southgate is the dude that brought these guys through, and he wants to start something new. And his speed, man, the speed is effective, and Rooney slows everything down. So, you know, we'll see what happens, and we'll talk more about it later. It's all good.
Yeah, definitely. Rashford, he should be an important part of the team, both on club level and international level. I just want to say about Martial, sometimes the experiences from national team can help, can boost your club career, or can also depress you a little bit. And I think Martial and partially Pogba as well, they kind of suffer because of the confidence issue, because they didn't have good European Championship, especially Martial. And when I think about Martial, I remember when he started his Man U career and he was scoring goals, and people were like, wow, what a great buy under the radar. But what is his position like on the team? Because he started as a striker, then he was moved to the left side, he stopped scoring, he stopped playing every game, and then he was moved around a lot. And now I still don't know exactly what his position is. I mean,
right.
Does he know what his position is? Maybe that's the problem, that he doesn't know exactly what's asked.
I think the problem is he knows what his position is and he ain't playing in it. And that's what the issue is. Pogba played good. I can't be mad at his game. He was aggressive. He created chances. He opened up assist lanes. And then he had scoring chances himself. He just didn't finish, though. But the whole team didn't finish. But Man U looked good, including Pogba. You can't be like Pogba had a horrible game. Like midweek, Man U had a horrible game and we won that 1-0. I was like, we can beat that team at home more than 1-0. We looked horrendous. It's the worst win ever. That win felt like a defeat in the Europa League.
Yeah, that was a terrible game.
It was a terrible game.
It was a terrible game.
Like
but listen, you know, like even if you played very well, you can't lose points like that, because the competition is so
only,
demanding in the Premier League.
We're only 5 points behind.
It's a bad result.
Yeah, we're only 5 points behind. Relax.
Yeah. that's a bad result. You know, if you want to compete for the title from top four, that's a really bad result.
Oh, okay, Spurs. Yeah, you know how to win. You won championships before. You tell me how.
Okay, tell me how to win.
Yeah, you know.
That's all right. I just gave you a compliment.
No, you didn't. Martin, stop pretending. Listen, you're not talking to an idiot. You're like, you act so innocent. Like, I didn't do anything. I was just giving you a, you know what? Do me a favor. Don't compliment me. And I won't be insulted.
All right, let's go to the team we both don't like. Arsenal.
I'm not mad at Arsenal. They got lucky.
I'm not mad at them.
Arsenal got so fucking lucky.
Again.
But you need luck to win a championship. So,
I know, you know, I'm worried about they
beat Burnley 1-0, and they're right there, man. The team you said wasn't going to finish in the top four is
right there. You didn't mention the most important part of it. They beat Burnley 1-0 with what?
A handball. But
yes, sir.
But that's why else would they be lucky?
Well, I mean, if you score in the last second of the game, it's always lucky, you know, like you score in the last second of the game. But
not if you're working for it, but this is definitely like that was a cross. It was a three-part cross. Like it was a corner, it was short, and then somebody headed it, and then Koscielny kicked it onto his own hand, and it went in the goal. And Oxlade-Chamberlain tried to take credit for it.
Okay, let me tell you this the about luck and no luck. So here's the difference between luck and what Arsenal did. You can find a $100 bill on the floor on the street, and that's luck. Or you can take $100 bill from somebody else's pocket, and that's what Arsenal did.
That's called robbery. But that's luck. It might be a luck and a robbery. It might be both.
Yeah, but that was just terrible, terrible decision, like right in front of the referee. And I remember the penalty that wasn't given for Leicester, and I remember the foul on the Southampton game, and then a very weird penalty in the last second of the game against Southampton. They got so many points they shouldn't have, and that's very worrying because they will play better. They will play better. They didn't play well at all so far, you know, except of Chelsea game.
I'm just laughing. You sound like such a bitter Spurs fan right now.
No, it's just ridiculous they're getting all those breaks, you know? It's unbelievable. Somebody, you should be upset too, because they shouldn't be in front of you guys.
You're hilarious. Like, you don't believe in Spurs' position in the table so much, you're worried about Arsenal,
no,
and they're behind you, and you're like, you're
Spurs.
Angry.
Of course I'm worried about
you're
this,
angry
about this,
at,
because it's a competitive.
Angry at their luck. Don't forget your luck against Liverpool. Don't forget.
It wasn't luck. It was a bad game, and it's not like we're given anything. You know, it's just they didn't take advantage of us playing bad football.
You're lucky they didn't score more.
Yeah, but that's different type of luck. It's not like referees made mistakes. You know,
it's all the same luck, man.
They actually gave a soft penalty for Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool should have scored more goals, but they actually gave a soft penalty to Liverpool that game. I remember very well.
Yeah, you want to categorize luck? Go ahead. I'm not.
Yeah, but no, Arsenal, listen, they didn't deserve nothing from that game. Burnley were actually, they even hit the post, I think, or a bar. Michael Keane is, that's the guy who is the star of the team. I think Leicester wanted to spend 15 million for him, and he didn't go. But he looks like a guy who might be transferred in the winter break to some very good team, because he's a very good player for Burnley, and Burnley definitely deserved at least a draw from that game. That was the guy from Burnley was very upset, manager of Burnley, because they played a very good game. They should have got at least a point.
But that's the thing, like Burnley played a good game for Burnley. You know what I mean? So
yeah. When
you play a good game for Burnley, you expect points. But listen, man, in this league, you got to play more than just a good game for you. You know what I mean? This league ain't gonna be like, you know what, Burnley, you played a good game for you. We're gonna give you a point. Nah, that's not how this league works. Half the time you won't get shit. So you gotta step up your game. This is a real league. This ain't the championship. Sorry, Lloyd, down there with Aston Villa.
Yeah, they're not doing well actually.
Not
in the championship at all.
They're not. I talk to them every week. It's so hilarious to talk to Lloyd every week. So funny.
Tell him to start recording the championship games now. Because
I know.
Because
he's going to the second.
<too long. laughs>
If I keep... Yeah, exactly. So who do you want to talk about next? Want to go?
Let's talk about Chelsea because I watched the second half of the game.
And, I watched all that game. They had to win this game. They had to.
Yeah.
You know, and you know they played at Hull, right?
Yes.
And they look good. Costa, Diego Costa. To me, even though Diego Costa had goals in other games, to me this was his best game. He was all over the place. Him and Ibrahimovic played similar, except Costa scored.
Had an assist as well, yeah.
And had an assist. Like, he didn't just stay forward. Like, he moved around a lot, and he showed a quality of touch from different areas of the field, from midfield position and from forward position. He was not afraid of intimacy and tight spaces and passed the ball. He looked really good, man. Like, better than when... When they won the championship 2 years ago, I don't even remember him looking that good.
I agree with you. I mean, he had a good start of the season, then he kind of fell apart a little bit. But yeah, he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. He's definitely playing very well because his reputation wasn't very good before start of the season. Everybody was saying that he'll be gone, that they might switch, you know, they might try a switch deal with Atletico, that they'll pay, let's say, a lot of money for Griezmann and add Costa on top of it. So that was the theme in the media. So I think the Costa is really trying to prove something. He wants to stay. He wants to play for this team. But the one guy keeps annoying me because I watched the game. The game wasn't good at all. Actually, Chelsea wasn't that good. You know, they just Hull is not. They don't have enough talent on the team. The one guy that keeps annoying me is Hazard because he's got so much potential and he just turns it on and off all the time. Like he didn't do nothing in this game. Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
At all.
No.
He was in there a little bit. It wasn't classic Hazard, but it wasn't.
He's becoming classic Hazard, you know, comparing to 2 years ago. It's becoming. That's the problem. He had like one or two very, very good games for Chelsea this season, but other than that, he plays like last season.
I think the coach should drop him for a little bit, let him get his head together, and make him think about it, you know? Make him think that this is not granted. Play Oscar or Cesc and let him think about it.
Yeah, or even this new guy from the Bahujai, you know, who can play as a wing as well because he's very fast.
Yeah, he's not that good. I wouldn't drop him for Hazard. He ain't done nothing since he's been there. He hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
But he's not playing much, so hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him. Maybe he needs more time to get acclimated and not be nervous, but not great. Not great at all. But, you know, Chelsea beat Hull 2-0. They needed that. They needed the points, and they got them, you know. And you know, listen, man, nobody's that far behind anybody, you know, like.
I mean, except the West Ham and Leicester. Yeah, you're right.
But we're talking about, like, the top six teams, all within, like, a 5-point range, right?
Yeah, but like I say, West Ham and Leicester, they were tipped to be also competing for those places, and they don't look good at all. At the moment.
I mean, we could go to Leicester. Leicester didn't look bad. They didn't play a shitty team, but per se. They played Southampton. Southampton can get at any top team on its day, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Leicester tied. Like, even going into it last week, you know, this wasn't a guaranteed win for Leicester. So, you know, Vardy blew a great chance. Like, Vardy blew the same chance that Ibrahimovic blew in a Man U game. It's like, you have the ball on the left, the goal is open to the right, and you just blow it. Vardy took an extra touch, and Ibrahimovic shot it to the left instead of to the right. And the keeper, they made, what was his name, Lee? Man, just give shout out to Lee Grant from...
You mean Slimani? Mr. Ibrahimovic.
Well, no, Ibrahimovic blew a goal in the Man U game against...
Oh, Man U game, okay.
Against, what's his name, is it Lee Grant? The goalkeeper for, was it Stoke?
Yeah. The 23-year-old, yes.
Yeah, so, that guy's 23?
Yes.
Man, he look old as shit. He's played 400 or something EFL games. Are you sure he's 23? That goalkeeper?
Pretty sure. That's what they said on Match of the Day. But yeah, I'll check it out one more time.
Yeah, you gotta look him up, man. The rings.
Yeah, the thing about Leicester is that Claudio Ranieri wasn't happy. He said that they were lucky to actually get a point. The thing is, they're playing much better in the Champions League. It looks like, you know, they're already happy they won the league once. They know they're not going to win it again. And it looks almost like the Champions League is a bigger challenge for them now. I don't know. It just looks like that.
And they get tired, too. Like, they never had to do this last year. You know, and they play Champions League midweek. And then they have to play again this week. And he didn't change the lineup much. He's playing the same players, and it's he says it's a new thing for him, but it's not a new thing for him. It's a new thing with a team that just won a surprising championship. You know, I don't know. He's not using his depth, and that's gonna probably affect him.
Yeah, which is weird because when he was a manager of Chelsea, they called him Tinkerman because right. he used to change everything all the time. But right now he's not changing. Like, they bought this guy Kapustka, who is the biggest like talent of Polish football. He played for Polish national team at Euros. He's not even on the bench. He didn't play a single minute for Leicester so far in the league. He wasn't on the bench last four games. So why did you pay so much money for him and he's not even playing? That's really weird. But
I don't think Man U has that much depth. Like if you're not gonna trust Mkhitaryan, like, where is Mkhitaryan?
Yeah, with the Manu problem, and I forgot to say about that. The one thing that Mourinho has to figure out is whom to play as a holding midfielder and how many of them. I think on some games you use Carrick, and some games you might use someone else. I don't think Fellini fits that team at all, but those are decisions he needs to make. He's like overloaded. Schneiderlin is there, you know, he's overloaded on a few positions and underloaded on a few others, you know, but he has too many players who are very similar to each other and can play, you know, in the same position, but then there are a few positions where he needs more players.
That's why he didn't need Schweinsteiger, and people say he treated Schweinsteiger, but he had eight Schweinsteigers. Like, you got to get rid of the actual Schweinsteiger.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely past his prime. 100%.
He's past his prime, and you have four other players that play his positions. Like, sorry, man, I love you, but you got to go. No disrespect.
Yep.
Shouldn't even have bought him last year. For what?
Exactly.
Mm.
So your boy David Moyes finally got a point.
Against West Brom, against your boy, is it Pulis?
Pulis, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Sunderland got a point. And, yeah, they got a point. That's all I can say about that game.
West Ham got a point as well. Yeah. They're not in a good place.
Yeah, I know. West Ham got a point. Nice goal, Payet. Took a long time. You could see him cooking that goal. That goal took like 5 minutes to cook. Him dribbling from one side of the goal area to the other side of the goal area. It's like, you had five opportunities to shoot. You better hope this goes in on six, and it did. So, good goal.
Yeah, it's weird to watch actually Payet, because he looks like he's showing off every game. Like, he doesn't really care. Like, he is just doing all this trickery there, and he's not really playing hard. But like, two games ago, his assist was with like a Rabona pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he you know, split his legs and he played a very difficult ball to Antonio. This time he decided to dribble past the entire team. You know, like, he's like showing off. Like, he's clearly trying to sell himself somewhere. You know, that's what it looks like.
I don't think that's what it is. Like, Payet, I've seen Payets before, and they seem like they could be really good players. But the reason why you have to touch the ball that much and do all that stuff is because you're not really that good. So the few tricks you know, you show him. And he definitely has skill, but he's not like a top player. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a top player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think...
It's hard to say, you know. We would have to judge him if he's on a better team. Let's say if he's on Chelsea, if he's on City.
Yeah.
It will be more visible what he can really do.
But you have to be the best player on your top team to get to those clubs. And I don't know if he is the best player on West Ham.
Not right now, no. Last season he was. Definitely not this season.
Yeah. And it's like, you got to do it. And you got to do it for more than one season.
Yeah, no. West Ham are a mess. They're a complete mess. If they keep playing like that, they'll be in the relegation battle. And that's not what they want. They'll be like a Newcastle of this year. That's what's going to happen.
Well, they'd have to sell all their players for us to be in Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like names and big club and fighting for relegation in that sense, sort of, you know, that, yeah. you know, it, that it shouldn't happen, but it happened.
Yeah, they got to make some type of a, they got to cross some type of a bridge and figure out what they are and what they're doing, because they've lost, they seem to have lost their identity, or the identity that they brought in from last season. Like, they acting as if they won the championship and they have a hangover.
Yeah, yeah. They, listen, you know, they had a very good season. They were only 3 points away from finishing in top four. So they had an extremely good season, and they were actually beating a lot of great teams. They won against Arsenal, against Chelsea, against United. I think they beat us, Tottenham, in a key moment of the season, 1-0. So they were a very, very dangerous team, but right now they're just not.
Somebody better tell them they didn't win the Premier League last year.
Yeah, and Bilic, listen, you know, he looks like he's taking it very, very personally, and he looks like a beaten man right now.
Yeah,
and it's a bad look, because he's a very likable guy, but he looks like he's aging every week. Yeah,
this
team.
He looks like he wants to win, and he's concerned, and he doesn't know what's going on. Like he's like, he can't understand why what he's doing is not working, and he hasn't. You could tell he hasn't figured it out yet. And he doesn't.
I'll tell you what's
not. And he doesn't. Sir. And he doesn't know if he'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think the one thing that is definitely not working is all the players they brought in, especially Zaza. It's just not working at all.
Right. He better go back to his old lineup then. What happened to that kid he had last year? Didn't West Ham have that 18-year-old kid or 17-year-old kid that started?
Yeah, Manu is trying to buy him actually right now. Reece Oxford. Yeah. So he's not playing.
Why not?
I don't know. He's just...
He was fine. He was fine. First Premier League game of the season of his life. Good. Where is he at?
On the bench or in the reserve team or in the youth team, yeah.
For what? the guy, shake that team up. Just shake... If you're a coach, fuck it. You ain't got nothing to lose. Shake that shit up. Put that guy back in. Get all the players from last year. The new players that you bought, put them on the bench. Let them see what the old team does. I don't know.
I agree.
That's my only solution.
I agree with you 100%. Oxford was very impressive, and I was surprised that they benched him in the second part of the season last year. They said that he's more experienced, so he needs to play more under 21 teams. But he's like gone, and now the last rumor was a week ago that Man U tries to steal him.
We'll take him
from West Ham. Yeah,
we'll take him. We like him.
Yeah, he should go. He should go, because it's a much better. Youth system at Man U than at West Ham. So if I'm his dad or whoever works for him, I would definitely make that move. But I think it's not entirely up to him. It's a complicated contract situation. You know, like, they have some sort of first glance at the contract that they can renew his contract, because he's on a junior contract, so he cannot really leave. It's some sort of complicated stuff. I read about it. But for his own goodness, if he's not playing, he should go, because he's not growing as a player, that's for sure.
We got lawyers that could work that out. This match, I kind of called it. Crystal Palace versus Everton. It definitely was a tie. And again, man, Crystal Palace, you can't... Like even as a Man U fan, I'm going to worry today we got to play this Crystal Palace team. Like... They know what they are, they know what they're doing, and they go do it. And, you know, so far, since the new players came in, they put them... It feels like this is what's good about this team. Everybody's playing their position. You know what I mean? Like, no player seems to be playing out of position. You know, Benteke is forward, then they got the players on the wing to get the ball into him. You know, and like, everybody's position... positioned right, and then they don't have the best players in the league, but their players are playing the best that they can in their position, and they have confidence in knowing as a team what they're doing, and they'll give you trouble.
Yeah, it almost looked like an audition for a starting job for new manager of Belgium, because first Lukaku scored a fantastic free kick, and then Benteke scored an amazing goal with his header. I think he might be the best player in the Premier League in terms of in terms of headers. I think that's his quality. I mean, he's very, very good.
Lukaku versus Benteke. It was a Belgium on Belgium Benteke, Belgium on Belgium crime, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
First of all, Lukaku's free kick doesn't even exist if the referee is paying attention, because that goalkeeper punched the ball as if what goalkeeper this week was punching the ball and punched the ball into the opposing player's team.
Barcelona.
So it's like, why are you punching the ball? Who was that? A defender? Punched the ball and they called a foul, like on a high kick or some shit, and they get a free kick.
And it should be indirect free kick. It shouldn't be a free kick.
It shouldn't be a free kick. It should be a handball, and Crystal Palace should have had that ball.
Yeah, but even if that's the even bigger mistake. If he decides it's a free kick, it shouldn't be. It should be indirect. According to the rules, it should be an indirect free kick.
So that referee fucked up three times in one play.
Yeah. Exactly.
Great job, ref.
Because according to the rules, if he decides that what happened, it should be an indirect free kick. But it probably shouldn't be indirect free kick. But if that's what happened, it should be indirect free kick. So somebody has to touch the ball first.
So the ref is like, listen, I'm not just going to mess up one time on one play. I'm going to mess up twice. And they're going to score a goal. It's going to change the points and the sway of the game. You know, I'm going to really fuck up. Good job, ref.
Yeah, especially if Crystal Palace were better for most of the game. And they scored a second goal. It was a minimal... it was a foul, I think. They called it a foul. And it was a minimal foul.
Yeah, it was a minimal foul. Yeah. That ref is clearly an Everton fan.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Crystal Palace are dangerous. No, they're a dangerous team right now. And Benteke is a good player for them.
Yeah. And then the wingers that they got, you know, they're great. Fucking great.
Yeah, he's a good player for the, like... mid of the table team. Guess what happened to Aston Villa when they got rid of him, you know? Remember what happened to Aston Villa. They lost Benteke and they were by far the worst team in the league.
And I want to make an apology. Remember when I said that Bonnie was a good middle of the table team? He's not even that.
He's not even that.
Your boy sucks, homie. Your boy sucks.
Yes, I mean, bad.
I feel bad for him. I want him to get his shit together. But some people, listen, man, this is football. This is life. Sometimes you get lucky and you have a great year. And you have excelled beyond your skills and ability. And people expect you to. And then they think now you're failing. But no, you just had that great year. And Bonnie physically looks like he just had a great year. The year before he went to City. He physically doesn't even look like a footballer. He doesn't play like one. He doesn't even stand up on the ball as strong as he looks. He doesn't even know how to use his low center of gravity. You can get him to the ball easily and take the ball away from him. Like, he looks lost out there.
Yeah, sometimes if you go to a big club, you get exposed, you know. Like,
he's not at a big club now.
And at City, he got exposed.
He's not at a big club now.
No, I mean, but he got exposed at City because he scored a lot of goals in Holland. Then he was scoring goals for Swansea, but then he went to City and... he couldn't keep that level of City football. He couldn't, you know, be in one rank with Aguero, De Bruyne, Silva. He just couldn't be on the same page with those guys.
Hell no.
And I think his confidence is right now hurting from that.
All right. Do you have anything else you want to say about the EPL?
Yeah, well, Liverpool game against Swansea. They're the team who is like the most surprising because they're winning now every game.
Yeah, they are. They're
very surprising.
It's all Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah. They're dangerous. They're very dangerous.
Yeah. I forgot about them for a second, but yeah.
Yeah, and whenever Firmino scores goals, they win. He's like a talisman for this team.
Yeah, Firmino. Yeah, he's coming through. I can't say that Firmino. Yeah, he's scoring. He's scoring. Just to say, he's scoring.
But you know who's the best scorer for them? It's only because he takes all the penalties, but he took five of them already this season. Milner is the best scorer on the team.
Yeah, listen, man. If you look at La Liga, it ain't easy to score penalties because Griezmann. Is Griezmann can do everything except score penalties.
I have Lamela close to my heart, you know, missing penalties, so I don't have to go to La Liga for that.
Yeah, it ain't easy to score penalties, dude.
No. But one thing about Swansea we have to say, because it's very important, especially because of our podcast, you know, first casualty of the season, manager, he said it before the game that it might be his last press conference, and it was. He got fired, Francisco Gidalin, and guess who is the new coach of Swansea?
Who?
Bob Bradley, American guy.
Oh, good.
First American guy in Premier League.
Congrats, Bob Bradley.
Yeah.
Congrats. Like, I think he's a good organizational guy, and he's tough, and he wants this job. He wants to prove himself, and yeah, it's good. And that team ain't bad. That team ain't bad. He could definitely survive this league with them.
Yeah, they definitely can stay in the Premier League, and that's what he's asked for, basically, as a manager. They don't expect him to win the league. They expect him just to stay in the league, and they have enough players. Well, I mean, after losing Williams to Everton, he was the kind of the guy keeping it together, and they need to figure things out. But he was known as this disciplinarian as a coach, even with the national team.
Yeah.
So he should be able to bring more discipline. Because after they sold Williams to Everton, they missed this discipline they had, because Williams was such a great organizer and such a presence in the defensive line, and they won a lot of games because of good defense.
I know a player he could buy.
Okay.
His name is Bradley, and he plays for Toronto FC. And he plays midfield. He's very organizational, and yeah.
Yeah, and he probably will. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I know a player. Goodbye.
Yeah.
It's his son. You get his son over there. So thank you, Liverpool, for giving an American coach a shot at coaching in England by beating Swansea 2-1.
America. That's a big deal. It's a
big deal. America thanks you for that. Good looking. And exactly. Liverpool didn't look great this game, did they?
Hmm?
Liverpool didn't look great this game, did they?
Yeah, but they won pretty comfortably. It wasn't in danger. They weren't in danger of not winning this game. They could have scored more goals.
Right.
They're right now, offensively, they're very strong. And I think defensively, they're a little bit better. I mean, a lot better, but still not great, but a lot better than they were in the beginning of the season because of one guy, Matip. And listen, you know, the next game they play United at home. So that will be a big task for you guys.
All right. So
what do you think of this game? Liverpool against United at Liverpool. Are you worried?
They have a better chance of winning than we do. How about that?
Okay.
Just keep that real. But it's a derby, so we could win it just because it's a derby.
It's a big game. It's a big game.
Yeah. Some Merseyside shit, right?
Yeah.
I'll just run through the tables, all right? For the and then we can go on to La Liga.
Sure.
So Man City is at the top, even after the defeat. They got 18 points. Tottenham is right in their ass. They're number 2 with 17 points. Arsenal is right behind their rivals, Tottenham, which is making Martin worried and sweat and calling them lucky. They're third with 16 points. Sweaty, angry, nervous, nauseous. Keep up the good job, Arsenal. You're 1 point behind them. Then Liverpool is right there, 1 point behind Spurs, 2. They're number 4. They're tied on points with Arsenal. Then Everton, they got 14 points. And Man U, we're number 6. We got 13 points. Chelsea, they're number 7. They got 13 points. Crystal Palace, who we were just talking about, they're number 8, they got 11 points. West Brom, Pulis, they're 9th, they got 9 points. And Southampton, they're 10th with 9 points. They don't even have as many points as the place they're at. Watford is 11 with 8 points. Deeney scored again this weekend. Deeney's just, he's going to be a Watford legend by the time this is over, man. He's great. Yes. He's, talk about perfect person for perfect team, Deeney.
Yeah.
And 12th is Leicester, and they got 8 points, and they're in the second half of the table, and Leicester got to do better, man. I was expecting you to finish in the top 10, and high top 10, too. Maybe not in the top 5, but higher than where you at now. And Bournemouth, they're number 13.
By the way, did you see Wilshere missing to the empty net from like 2 yards in this game?
I missed that.
Yeah, that was a chance for a winning goal, and he didn't score. That was terrible.
Yeah, man, it's like this player had so much promise. I don't know what's going on. They're only starting him because they bought him, and he's from Arsenal, and based on what he's done in the past.
Yeah, but no, he's not playing well at all.
He's not playing well at all. He does. If they benched him, he couldn't even bitch about it.
Yeah. And I think they will. Because,
They might have to.
It's a good manager. He wouldn't. He's not. He doesn't come out as a guy who will just play someone because he's a big name.
Right. Yeah. He's got hardworking people on the team, and you don't want to upset them and say this system is not fair. And why am I busting my ass and this dude is starting? Wilshere, you better get your shit together over there, man. Some Arsenal players, they just kind of are spoiled. They have like a spoiled entitlement sense about them. You know what I mean? Like, usually when you play for Arsenal, you can beat teams because teams let you play because you're Arsenal. And now you're in the gutter, man. You gotta grind to get games.
Yeah, plus he was always very hyped. The only reason people were like questioning him was not his skills, it was his health. But right now he has to prove himself on a less technical, less talented team, and he needs to be the man, but it doesn't look like he's the one for the role.
He doesn't look athletic. He doesn't look mobile. Like he looks like he never played before at this pace. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe he's not healthy at all. Maybe his legs are gone and he's just not never be the same player again. We've seen it before. We've seen it with other players.
It's crazy when that happens. I never understand that.
Yeah.
I feel bad for players,
Yeah, I remember when Raul Bravo, who was playing for Real Madrid, at some point, few years later, he tried to get the job in Polish league and he wasn't good enough to do that. Damn. That happened.
I remember Freddie Adu.
Freddie Adu is playing now with Joe Cole in the second league here in America.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious. So Hull, number 15, they lost to, who they lose to? Chelsea. They're 15, they got 17 points. Middlesbrough, they're 16th with 6 points. Swansea, they're 17th with 4 points. And in the deportation zone is West Ham United. They occupy the top of the deportation zone, and Stoke is 19th, and they have 3 points, and Sunderland is doing what they do. They got 2 points, 1 point from each tie, and they are at the bottom of the table. Now we're here.
Yeah, and someone has to tell them it's October already. They haven't won a single game in August and September last 4 seasons, but it's October, and they're still not winning. So that's a worry sign. Yeah,
that's not good. So we jump into La Liga. I just got an overall question, and then you can pick which game you want to talk about first. So did Barcelona and Real Madrid make an agreement to make Atletico win the season, or did they make an agreement to say we'll lose or tie when you win Atletico, and when Atletico you lose or tie, then Madrid will win, and then Barca's like, we'll just not win and tie and lose. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's super crazy because Real Madrid won like 14 games in a row. Now they drew 4 games in a row, yeah, and three in the league, and they didn't play well at all. And some people say, and I think I've heard people saying, the reporters from Spain, that it's not on Zidane, that the players are not in a very good form, that Ronaldo is not in a very good form, and the Benzema is not in very good form, and other players are not in a very good form, and they're just, they're just not producing. They're just not producing at the moment. Because those are low teams. Eibar is, what is Eibar? I mean,
Yeah. Yeah, tied with Eibar. What was it, 1-1?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, that's not good. You're supposed to beat an Eibar, You ain't supposed to. And it was a great weekend to beat them. And then we had opportunities that we didn't put away. Like Ronaldo being off form is not bad. As long as Ronaldo is in the vicinity, which he was, he's in the vicinity on some headers, he made the cross, the ball that Bale scored, so I can't say Ronaldo's not on form. He hasn't scored, but he had an assist. There's a solid assist, and this is the first time in a long time I've seen Ronaldo play like a winger. Like, he was literally a winger in this game, like beating defenders, going down the side, and crossing the ball in. And then he was in the middle for some headers from Bale, and there was, you know, he just didn't put them away. So it's not on form. He's just off a little bit, and it just takes one more game for a player like Ronaldo to get on. But as a team, you can't blow an opportunity to beat Ibar. And I think Zidane had some success tinkering before, and now he might be tinkering too much. And he probably needs to get back to a set lineup. And plus, there is no Real Madrid without a Modric, and he's injured. And when he's injured, we lack creativity, and we have problems. Like, we've won all the titles we've won recently with him being healthy.
Yeah, he's bringing organization to the game. He's the playmaker. He's pulling all the strings, and otherwise it's very chaotic. Yeah. Isco is chaotic. All those guys are very chaotic.
Kovacic, or wasn't he? Is it Kovacic or Kovacic? Like, I don't believe...
Yeah, he's just 20 years old.
He's one of those players that looks like he can be a playmaker, but he ain't doing it. Like, he'll do it in one or two plays, and, oh, he's going to be that guy. He's not. Like, Modric is just, he's like Pirlo, man. He's one of them dudes.
And
like, when I saw Isco in the lineup, I was like, I don't believe in Isco. And Isco proves why I don't believe in him.
I agree.
So we end up with 1-1. And then and then we go to Real Madrid versus Celta Vigo, and they lost versus Celta Vigo, and Barcelona had trouble with this team last year, and even though they sold some of their players, Celta Vigo still put it to Barcelona.
Yeah, the game was actually very cool game to watch, because what happened was in the first half was 3-0 for Celta Vigo, and two key mistakes by Busquets. Everybody's saying that it's almost unreal how bad Busquets this season is. Like, there are two players on Barca team. Like, everybody else is playing pretty well, and plus Messi's injured, but there are two players that are playing well below their normal standards, which is Busquets and Mascherano. They're really having a nightmare of a season right now.
Why? Just because Mascherano scored an own goal? Come on, man. He was trying to stop that cross. It's not his fault that he accurately put it in the net.
Yeah, Busquets is absolutely the shadow of himself. Mascherano is making mistakes, and they're conceding goals. What Ter Stegen did made a lot of people on Twitter go like, why the hell did we sell Bravo? Because, you know, what happened was that, so it's 3-0, then it's 3-2, they're almost there, they create chances. It looks like the third goal for Barcelona will happen anytime, and then Ter Stegen just punches the ball into his own head. That's how you need to call it.
But you know the reason why Bravo left is because they were going to replace him when he was staying. Then they're going to replace him with this guy. They're going to replace him with this guy, and he didn't want to be a backup goalkeeper on this team. So he said, sell me. So that's why they sold him so easily, not because he was their starter, but they just assumed that this guy was better than the guy that they won the league with. You know what I mean? And better than the guy they won the Champions League with the year before. And they were going to, so that's why they sold him to Man City. Not that he's having a fun time in Man City. Like, he ain't having the greatest days in Man City either.
No, and his style fits Barcelona way better than Man City. And the guy who's goalkeeper at Barca is making calamitous mistakes.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. So they scored the fourth goal, and then second goal from Piqué made it interesting in the end. Neymar in the last minute had a chance to get a draw, but, you know, without Messi... And Suarez wasn't that effective in this game. They lost another game. This is the second loss of the season for them. The third one, because they lost to Getafe, I think. No, they lost to some team that got promoted. They lost at home, then they lost to Atletico, and now they lost to Celta Vigo. So they're three losses already.
Yeah, they lost to that team that got promoted. I forgot their name right now, but that team also tied with Atletico Madrid. So that team is not a joke.
Yeah.
That team is not a joke. It wasn't like some lucky shit. That team snuck up on people. I just can't remember their name right now. But yeah, you know, I'm happy that they're not winning. I was happy about the shock loss to Celta Vigo as a Real Madrid fan. So fuck it. Keep fucking up. But we have to take advantage. We got to get all the points. We're going to need them.
Yeah, the weird thing with Enrique it's like it was the second game he started Iniesta on the bench, and then he brought him in, and Iniesta was clearly making things better for him. You know, I don't know. He's tinkering as well. Like, it looks like Enrique and Zidane have some sort of, as you just said it, it looks like they keep getting things more difficult on their own wish.
Well, I think they're both looking ahead. You know what I mean? It's tough. Like, you're Enrique, you get a team, and that was past their prime, or right on the line of their prime, and then you won some things. But now, you can't ignore that anymore. You can't ignore the fact that Iniesta's old. You know what I mean? Iniesta's old. If you play him like how you played him in past seasons, you'll be like, you have to bench him, because he'll get tired, he'll wheel down, he won't defend as well. And, you know, so when you put him in the middle of a game, yeah, he's going to show quality because he's Iniesta. But he can't run like that no more. And the same thing with Busquets. I think the reason why Busquets is having a bad season is because he's played every game for every team in every competition. I mean, Spain and Barcelona. And it's like, it's that time. And Mascherano, it's definitely got to be that time. And
yeah.
And you have to, like, try to find some guys. Like, they got a new Suarez. Is it Denis Suarez that, you know, that showed some flair and some boutiness. So we'll see. And you got Robert. It's tough to replace these players, man. These players were like the best level players. And
even Dani Alves also left. You have to remember that.
Yeah, Danny. It's like man. Listen, when we watched Barcelona win all those games, all those years, we knew this team was special. And you would never, it'd be decades before you see something like this again. And you can replace them as much as you want with players that look like they got the same amount of quality, but they don't have the heart that these dudes had in their prime. And that's all.
Yep.
I'm trying to find, like, a list of, and then Atletico Madrid won. Griezmann missed another penalty. But the goalkeeper has a 44% penalty saving rate,
which is amazing. Yeah,
which is amazing. Like, if I got to take a penalty against this guy, my heart is pounding more than the goalkeeper is, because I know this dude can save, and he saved.
It's all psychological, yeah.
Yeah, psychologically he's beat you, and he saved Griezmann's penalty, and then Gabby took. Then Griezmann got another penalty. Gabby took it. It was Gabby, right, the captain. Mm-hmm. And Gabby was nervous. But the way the goalkeeper saved Gabby's penalty, he just stood there. He didn't dance on the line and try to make him make a move, make the penalty taker, like, force him into making a decision. He just stood on the line like he wasn't even goalkeeper. And the penalty was soft, and he didn't guess, and he just dived and saved it. He saved two penalties in one game, and they still lost the game. Atletico Madrid still scored because Griezmann came back and showing that, I can miss a penalty, but I ain't going to miss a regular goal in the flow of play.
Yeah, by the way, Simeone is making the best out of this team. Gabi, somebody said during the TV coverage of the Barcelona game that he was never called for Spain. He never played a single game for Spain, which shows you, that Simeone was able to bring those guys up to their top, And the two things that came out of the FIFA corridors, that they're planning to do two changes. One, because of Atletico Madrid, that somebody counted that they wasted like average of 28 minutes per game last season by delaying things, like playing like so they wanted to make game more fluid. Based on that, there'll be some rules that you cannot do some things. So that's one thing. And the second thing that worries me a lot, and I'm very much against it.
What do you mean? Explain that again. Who does what?
No, the FIFA plans to change two rules, like the one against they want to make the game more effective, so the players won't be able to waste time during the game, like for example, change the guy who's throwing the ball from the side, like the little things.
The throw-in?
Yeah, the throw-in, they will change. The throw-in, they will change a few other things, that you have to, for example, execute the free kick like within 10 seconds, so there's no time wasting, stuff like this. So that's good, but the one thing that is bad, that they want to make 64 team World Cup, and I'm very much against that, and that's terrible, terrible news.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, homie.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find an international week fixtures. I keep on not getting the right thing. You know?
Mm-hmm. But one thing we should address at the very end
is AC Milan versus Sassuolo.
No.
4-3.
We should talk about our Big Sam, our man. Big
oh Sam. Yeah. Gone Sam.
What do you think about it? Oh. What do you think? How stupid from him? You know, he'll go to history as the only manager of England who had 100% winning ratio.
It's our best coach of all time, homie. Our best coach of all time. England's best coach of all time is fired. They'll never be able to take that away from him. Like how many games did you coach for England, Big Sam? One. And what was your winning percentage? 100%, my nigga. That's it. You can never say nothing about it. And I'll never coach for England again, so my percentage will never go down. And I won in the last minute, and I'm out. And he doesn't get the $3 million that they promised him that he was supposed to get paid, and he probably won't get the $400,000 that was side piece money from that league, from that fake company that hired him, and it was a newspaper investigation. And it's like, what are you doing, Sam? But
yeah,
it's greed, but to Sam's credit, he quit and he spoke to the FA and he was upfront and he apologized. And also, as the press was talking to him outside of his house and he came out and he just told him, it's the best thing you could do, just say plainly without hiding behind anything or mincing words, what's up? And after that, nobody can come at you. Like, you made the greatest mistake, so you have to completely apologize. And he showed you how it's done. And now I actually feel bad for him because he probably won't get an EPL job. How's he going to get? He can't get it. He's done coaching for life.
Most likely he's done coaching for life. However, I'm sure that some team in like United Arab Emirates or some maybe team in China.
Yeah, China.
I don't know, might give him a job. But I don't feel bad for him. I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but the investigation showed that when he was a manager of Bolton, there were some very, very suspicious transactions in terms of getting players to the team. So he looks kind of shady, you know, in terms of his entire career. He looks like he was the guy, you know, trying to do some shady deals. So I'm not feeling bad for him. And it looks like Harry Redknapp has something also in his past, in his closet, some skeletons in his closet.
Of course.
And it says, the investigation says 40 managers in England. So that's pretty tough.
Of course. Harry Redknapp was a Spurs manager. Of course he has some shadiness in his closet. But no.
Only for a second. He managed almost every club in England. Come on, man.
Nah, man. He was before Pochettino, he was your best coach for a long time. He was there for a long time. He had a great run with you guys, man.
He had a great run, yeah.
It, you know, he had the Bell. He got Modric there. He had that Kane and your boy that's at Sunderland. You know, Defoe. He had a great run. Whatchamacallit? Shit. What was I gonna say? I can't remember, man.
He was with Portsmouth. He was with West Ham for many, many years. And then he was with QPR. I mean, there were a lot of teams he was part of.
Yeah. Nah, I just associating with you dudes, man. I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank also. So, you know, he got some allegations against him.
He sucks.
And the guy from Barnsley got fired already, a manager. So this journalistic investigation is getting a lot of managers anxious and angry and scared because you don't know when you're gonna end up in the newspaper. You know, like all of them are right now probably going through the list of meetings for jobs they had in the last 10 years, and they are thinking which one might be undercover reporter of a magazine.
So who made the England squad?
Definitely Rashford did.
And Lingard, too, got called. And what do you think about Southgate as a replacement?
4 games. He has 4 games to prove. Like, there is a theory that is very popular in English media. However, let's see how accurate it's going to be. However, I'll tell you, it looks promising because I listened to Wenger himself. So the theory is that they will give a chance to Southgate. And if Southgate doesn't show, like, something great, they will wait for Wenger till the end of the season, and they'll give it to Wenger after his contract is up, which is the end of the season. So some people are saying, you know, that Arsenal is getting all those calls from referees. It looks like FA wants to give Wenger the last title. So he can focus on his England.
Hilarious. Yeah, you better be, as a Spurs fan, you better be worried and afraid then. You really should be.
I am. You should be angry. I am.
And
the funny thing is, because there were a lot of interviews with Wenger, the fact that it's his 20th anniversary with Arsenal, that just happened last week.
Right.
And he didn't say no. He didn't say, he said that he's interested. Like, he didn't say that he's interested of leaving Arsenal. He said, yeah, sure, I'll be interested in the future. Right now, focus on Arsenal, blah, blah, blah.
Well, this
but
is
everything
his,
is possible. So.
Well, this is his last contract year, and everybody's been, listen, everybody's been trying to push him out, right? But he's like, I believe Wenger still thinks he can coach, right? He himself believes he's a good coach and he can coach. So
he can.
And he can. So he's going to be like, shit, if these people want me out, I'll take a bigger job. I'll leave this job and get a bigger job. And the only reason why I like this, because I think Wenger is done as a coach like you know, that the eye of the tiger thing.
And the manager, the guy who makes personal decisions, he doesn't have to make them as a manager of England. He doesn't have to buy players or not spend, you know, how much money, you know. He doesn't have to worry about
right.
that. He just needs to coach, that's it.
Yeah, but he's not going to have the talent at his disposal that he has at Arsenal. But I think a new challenge for him would be better. The thing with Wenger, this is why they want Wenger. Because England should have an English coach, but Wenger is as English.
Not a French one.
But Wenger is as English as a non-English coach could be, because he's been coaching in the Premiership for 20 years. All he has is a French accent. Besides that, all he's done is coach in the Premiership, and we don't look good internationally as a team. And all Wenger's teams have looked good. So we want to look good. Plus we have a guy who a lot of English international players have come through his system. There's so many things that work in his favor. And I'll give you another one.
He's great with working with young players. And this England team is pretty young.
It's young. And yeah, I just don't think he does. The thing is, he doesn't have the time with this team that he would have with a club. And I don't know how that's going to translate, but I don't believe in Gareth Southgate. Why should I?
No, he seems like doesn't have experience enough probably for the job, and he doesn't sound convincing. He doesn't sound like a leader.
He's a wannabe. Like he coached Middlesbrough, and that was a while ago when he after he stopped playing. But he's a wannabe, man. He's a want to be like. Guy, but he ain't confident, like you said. Like you said, he's not confident. He doesn't know. He don't know.
Yeah, there's one question during the conference. They ask him, will he play Rashford in the under 21 World Cup next year if he's the coach of the team? And he said, well, if I'm the coach of the team, and he started laughing, like, you know, implying that he might be the coach of the England at the time, you know. So, but he didn't sound confident at all.
Well.
He could be good, you know, and I think the fact that he doesn't have to work every day with the national team might be actually, you know, regarding his age and the fact that he's not getting any younger, it might be actually good for him, that he can just go to games, watch games, make his analyses, and then coach the hell out of this team when he has a chance.
Yeah. I you know what? I'm liking it more and more. I'm liking it more and more because the alternatives aren't better than Wenger. So it's like the names they're throwing
around.
There aren't any other names.
The other guys are signed. They have contracts.
Yeah. So this will also help Arsenal that wants to get rid of him. And I was watching Ian Wright on a whatchamacallit, and he doesn't want Wenger to take the job because he thinks they're already mean to him at Arsenal, the fans, and if he doesn't do good with this squad, they'll be mean to him with England. But that's just Ian Wright doesn't have confidence in Wenger as a coach either.
Plus, there were never less expectations from England manager. Like, nobody thinks they can win the World Cup. You know, nobody thinks they will win the World Cup in 2 years. He just needs to get them to a respectable level. Like, if England, like, goes and plays well and goes to the quarterfinals and, you know, puts up a fight, he's done great at this point with this team, with this roster. Listen, the last World Cup, they got 1 point in 3 games. The last European Championship, they lost to Iceland. So the expectations are that as high as, let's say, 5-6 years ago. I would say. So that's actually pretty comfortable. Plus,
that's fake comfort. Like, as soon as, if Wenger's the coach and we win some qualification games and slide in there easily, we're going to expect to do really good. Like, England's funny, man. Like, no, we're not expecting nothing. No. Then, I, you know what it is, though? We just look so bad when we lose and so bad when we win. We would accept if we looked, well, there's been times, I don't know, we need to win, because I remember when we did look good with like the Beckhams and the Scholes, and then we'd end up with a penalty, losing penalties, or, you know, or we'd get a man sent off and then lose with 10 men. It's a pressure filled job. It sounds like, oh, we just need there's no expectation. But if you're an English coach, there's always expectation.
Yeah, and then the one good thing that can work on Wenger's favor is the fact that, I mean, for him to make the decision, if it's really in the play, as it sounds, the England job is the highest paid job in football in the world. Manager of England has the highest salary in football. Period.
No. Did Sam Allardyce know that? Because he wanted more money.
Yeah.
He was trying to get more money. Did Sam Allardyce
know that? Everybody's laughing at him.
Like, did he think it was $3 million Jamaican dollars, or did he know it was pounds?
Yeah, £4 million.
Well, he was trying to make it four. I thought it was $3 million, and then he tried to get the extra four. I mean, come on, Allardyce. Remember when we was talking about Allardyce, and I said he looked like a mob boss.
Yeah.
You remember me saying that?
Yeah, and he looks like.
And he actually did some mob boss shit, like
more like mob dump. Soldier stuff, than not the boss, but yeah, he definitely didn't do anything smart in this situation.
But you know, he looked like, you know, he just looked. He didn't look honest. He didn't look honest.
No, track record proves that. The stuff he did with Bolton, and listen, finally got caught.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
You got anything you want to promote?
Every Friday, 7:30, you can see me at the Comedy Store, and now I have a couple of publications coming up soon, but as I think I'll plug it in next week.
All right. Well, I just came back from Toronto. I did the JFL 42. Thanks to everybody that came to my shows. All of them were sold out, so that was good. And right now, we're doing this podcast via Skype because I'm in Vegas all week at the Laugh Factory, 2 shows a night, 8:30 and I think 10:30. At the Laugh Factory in the Tropicana. So I'll be here until Monday. So come through if you're around. We love you. Thanks for listening. Good job, Martin.
Thank you, my friend.
Check out my dates at ianedwardscomedian.com or follow me on Instagram at ianedwardscomic.